Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah. They have asked for that, really.
You can laugh. I was the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist. But having said that, I want to be like me.
This Friday night, a new Premier League season begins with Arsenal going to newly promoted Brentford. It seems like the perfect time to put out a quick Monday football podcast to start building up the excitement, perhaps tempt some of the Monday-only listeners to sign up for our coverage on the World Service during the week. The problem being, I can never quite predict the pre-season excitement levels of our football correspondent, Ken Early. Oftentimes, he's pumped, being the football man that he is, but his enthusiasm for COVID-era football certainly was sucked away last season before being spectacularly reignited by Euro 2020. So first of all, I want to say hi to you, Ciarán.
Hey, Owen, how's it going?
Because I heard you give me a polite laugh there. And my question to you, Ken, is are you looking forward to the new Premier League season?
I'm looking forward to it, Owen. Yeah, I am looking forward to it.
That's enough of a hype job.
No, say no more.
I'll stop you there. End of mini podcast. Sign up for 5 a month plus flat.
He's in the mood. He's feeling it this year, everyone.
What's exciting you about the new Premier League season, Ken?
I don't know yet, really. But I don't know.
Just the feeling of football coming back after being away for a couple of weeks.
With the crowds, it makes such a difference.
Well, that's true.
So hopefully that will just be okay. Let's just hope it's okay. We've got to give it a try at some point. It's got to be tried. I suppose it's always possible in a few months' time you'd be looking back going, how did we not realize that it was never going to work? But I hope that doesn't happen. And in the meantime, it does seem more meaningful. But also there's so much happening. Like there's kind of a lot of, I say there's so much happening, but actually things are continuing to happen in the same direction, which is to say Chelsea, Manchester City, and most of all, PSG, most of all, are simply striding away from the rest of the European football field. All those earthbound football clubs, even your Bayern Munichs, who so smugly believe that, with their big stadium, rich fan base, and obviously generous sponsors. that they would always be able to stay in the front rank of European football. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. So Chelsea have signed Lukaku, bring him back, because obviously Inter are one of those clubs that are collapsing financially. Mm. Manchester City have signed Grealish, and looks like they're probably going to sign. Yeah, they did. Well, that was on Saturday. They eventually did. But it looks as though they're probably going to sign Harry Kane as well now. I mean, if Tottenham are signing Lautaro Martinez from again, collapsing club Inter, I mean, Tottenham at least still get a check for TV money from the Premier League for now. If they're going to sign Lautaro Martinez, then they're hardly going to keep Harry Kane, are they? So maybe something is going to happen with that deal, which last week we were saying looked kind of unlikely. And most incredibly of all, Lionel Messi, as essentially Barcelona collapses, absolute Götterdämmerung of Barcelona, Lionel Messi is going to join the only club that can now afford him, Paris Saint-Germain. And it's like, I mean, PSG's signings, you know, this summer, 4 free transfers, Wijnaldum, Donnarumma, Sergio Ramos, and Messi. Like, but it's incredible, you know, but they're the only team that can afford to give anyone a pay rise. You know what I mean? At the sort of the higher level of the market. Like, everyone else is like, yeah, you know, we can't do this. Madrid sort of booted Ramos out. You know, Klopp wanted to keep Wijnaldum, but they just basically couldn't afford him. They couldn't afford him when PSG's offer is there. And as for Messi, I mean, I've had lots of people, I mean, I didn't watch the entire press conference, but watched the beginning of Messi's press conference and the ovation that he got then from the crowd, which was like, honestly, really, I found quite a moving moment, because I know I've had lots of my friends saying, look at this, like, this is disgusting, look at him, oh, I'm crying. You know, the parasite weeps over the dried out husk of the dead host that he's killed. You know, he sucked everything out of Barcelona and now they're finished.
Well, that's a reasonably unfair representation of the transaction between Messi and FC Barcelona over the last 15 years.
Well, I thought it was unfair as well, Kieran. I thought it was unfair as well. I did think, you know, I felt a bit sorry for Messi. I mean, you feel in the way that you feel sorry for like a near billionaire who's being forced to play for another one of the top clubs in the Champions League for factors which were to some extent beyond his control. You know, it's not the deepest sympathy. Like, I wasn't necessarily rushing to the phone to make a donation to Lionel Messi somehow to try to ease his suffering. But still,
you didn't set up a GoFundMe for him, right?
No, but this is like, you know, just the way that you can see this great career. I mean, his career isn't ended yet. I mean, there's still this final piece of it to go at PSG. This, yeah, look, you know, I don't want to say anything too harsh about PSG at this point.
Lenny Kravitz!
One of the great sporting careers of all time, ending in this awful way. You know, like with a bunch of accountants sort of looking up and sort of shaking their heads and saying, no es posible, like this can't happen. You know, to think of all of the things that he's done, of all of the achievements that he has, all the years that he's spent being, you know, the best player in the world at Barcelona, and to end this way, he didn't even get to play for the crowd one more time. You know, it's such a wrench, like it's so miserable.
Even though he wanted to leave last year.
I know, but that's just an extra sort of sadistic twist in storyline. It's just the point about it is that here's Messi, like even the greatest player in the world just can't have things, you know, it doesn't go his way. I mean, last season, okay, what explains the difference between last season and this season? To be honest, it's a difficult question. It's a difficult question to answer, but he had obviously accustomed himself to his new situation. I always felt last season when he was saying he wanted to leave, that was in a way a kind of a reaction to what they'd done to Suarez, you know, booting him out like a 1 minute phone call or whatever. I think it's in the Simon Cooper book. Ronald Koeman rang him up and they were 1 minute on the phone. I don't know who hung up. And then that was Suarez out of Barcelona, Messi's best mate. And I think then his bureau fax and all that was had a little bit to do with that, you know, at the time. But I think since then he sort of got used to the situation. Now he'd wanted to stay. And no, you can't do that either. So when, you know, the sight of him sort of crying on the stage, I know that it didn't meet with universal sympathy. But I still felt like with the career that he'd had there and with everything, you'd have imagined it would have a better ending than this, but no.
Some of the Messi bashers, Ken, some of your mates there, I'd imagine were saying, why doesn't he play for free if he loves him so much? He's cut it in half. Why doesn't he just play for free?
Yeah, I mean, why doesn't he play for free? Well, I mean, reason number one is that he can't. As another friend of mine said, it's quite a thing to ask someone to effectively donate 600 grand a week to a financial black hole run by morons who squandered a significant amount of money you earned them on Twitter bots to personally attack you. Actually, even in the replies to the tweet that Barcelona but you know, when Barcelona announced on the Thursday that he was going to be leaving, underneath that, I kept seeing this text: as an honest Barcelona fan, I am happy we are not renewing dictator Messi's contract. In the last 4 years, he has taken away 500 million euros from my precious club and only has hat-tricks against Eibar to show for it. He has left us bankrupt and I want him out of my club ASAP. And this,
that's a Real Madrid fan.
Well, this exact text was appearing over and over again from, you know, from different accounts. So what that is, I mean, like, you'd have to imagine Barcelona surely still aren't paying a company to, like, generate social media hatred of Lionel Messi. Maybe that's someone else, you know, trying to create the impression that they still are doing that. But, like, I don't know. It's a bit of a hall of mirrors, like. But, you know, in terms of should he play for free? Well, you know, it's not really his fault that Barcelona are in this position. You know, there is that line. Well, you know, you've sucked everything out of them. You're the sort of the parasite that got too big, which is an unfair way to look at it and doesn't take account of what he was making the club as well as what they were paying him. I mean, probably. I mean, the basic problem is just a lack of discipline and a lack, like, okay, for like all of these sort of John Delaney type things that the Barcelona board did. You know, the 2 year offer, the play for 2 years and we'll pay you for five. That's an absolute John Delaney from you know, from the big book of ideas and dreams of John Delaney.
It's creative. It's out there.
Nothing surprises you now.
You know, if John Delaney keeps notebooks like Leonardo da Vinci, right? It's full of schemes like that. pay for two and we'll pay you for five. You know, so that was dumb. But, like, you know, things like again, I mentioned the Cooper. This actually was reported originally, I think, by Tarek and Rory Smith in the New York Times, which was the negotiation for Dembele when Bartomeu, I can't remember who the other Barca director was, they flew to, I think it was Monaco, to meet with Dortmund's guys, you know, Hans-Joachim Watzke. I can't remember the other Dortmund guy either. But the point was they were there to negotiate for Dembele, the player who they wanted to sign, apparently having turned down the chance to sign Mbappe. Who knows how real that... This is once again, go back to the summer of 2017. So that's actually the summer when both Neymar and Mbappe joined PSG. Mbappe obviously was already a pretty big star at the time. But supposedly Barcelona had been offered him for less than he was ultimately to join PSG and didn't want him. They wanted Dembele, but they went to do this negotiation. And Bartomeu and his director mate said, okay, listen, you know, before we go in, let's go in with a plan. The plan is 80 million euros is our ceiling. We're not going to go above that. All right? You know, if they say it's more than 80 million euros, we say, gentlemen, it's been great talking to you, and we walk away from the deal. All right? That's our plan. So they go in. They go in, and the Dortmund guys immediately go, guys, we've got a plane to catch, and this is going to be a very short negotiation. Our price is 160 million euros. Are you paying it or not? And they're like, yes. so they immediately pay so 80
the original,
million.
The original deal was 80 million, but for both of them.
The maximum.
So you've got 80 million to spend, and I've got 80 million to spend. So that's the ceiling, okay?
But it's just like when you've got that level of sort of stupidity and indiscipline, then, you know, and obviously Dembele turned out, maybe if Dembele had been brilliant, everyone would be saying, well, thank God, you know, they had the appetite for risk there. But no, I mean, they just blew their own plan out of the water. And so there has been that, you know, repeat that many, many, many times and then introduce the coronavirus pandemic, which is this sudden bolt from the blue that, like, wipes a load of money off the other side of the equation. And then, you know, La Liga suddenly getting really tough on their salary caps and all this kind of stuff. Maybe they because they want to get the league into shape where they can actually sell some of it to, like, some, you know, capital partners or whoever they're hanging out with. So, you know, it's been like a series of compounding mistakes, which haven't been Lionel Messi's fault. Should Messi then play for free? Well, I mean, the fundamental point is, even if he did do that, they still wouldn't have been able to employ him. They still wouldn't. That's how bad things have got. So, yeah, I mean, it sort of misses a number of points, I think, that why doesn't he play for free?
It feels like the Messi to City thing never really gained too much traction. It seems like PSG are the front runners there. But they do have Grealo, okay, and you mentioned briefly there that he only got a certain amount of time. You sound disappointed that he wasn't given more opportunity.
Well, I was watching the the Charity Shield, and I was screaming Community Shield. I was saying, why don't they just bring on Grealish? I'm so bored watching this. You know, it was a typical sort of, you know, the City were not at full strength. And they had this guy, you know, Cole Palmer in midfield. And I'm like, look, Cole Palmer, sure, you might turn out to be a good player. I look forward to enjoying your football career, you know, for the next many years. However, Grealish is on the bench, and why don't you just bring him on? And I thought, how much of this has Grealish been sitting through this summer? Sitting at Wembley on the bench with the whole crowd screaming for him, bring on Grealish. And the manager who's under varying degrees of pressure from like pre-season friendly right all the way up to final of the European Championships, right? Going, I can't risk it. He's simply too sexy. I can't. Grealish, the player you all want, that now the most expensive, I have to say, English player in history.
Yeah. Next year, I'll be back in the green jersey.
This summer, the sensation of the league, the man everyone wants to see, and the manager's like, I can't risk putting him on the field. This is such a bizarre situation. Like, just put him on. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Literally, what is the worst thing that can happen? Why is everybody?
He's like, a 1960s Ken Russell movie now. It's just literally too dangerous to be watched.
It's like, you know,
everyone has heard about him, but no one
has seen
really
him.
Remember, yeah.
Everybody knew about him. Nobody had seen him.
Dude, we could have seen him, but no, it's been deemed too dangerous for
just
public consumption.
Just get him on. Just get him on. Pep is standing there, you know, dressed down. I'm like, Pep, you're wearing a t-shirt and you're telling me this game is too risky to introduce Grealish. Eventually he put him on. I mean, Grealish didn't do a whole lot. I mean, he had the usual nice touches and so on. We look forward to seeing him play a full game. Maybe it won't be at Wembley, who knows. It's just he's just
Why
faded.
Why did he just come to Man United? He would have been flogged to within an inch of his life.
Man United,
9,000 minutes. 9,000 minutes of Premier League football this year. That's what, sure, Grealish would have played at.
Where would
Old
he
Trafford.
Fit? Where would he fit in Man United's team? Man United would be too
Doesn't
stacked.
Matter. United would have fit him in somewhere and would have not dropped him until like January. The third round of the FA Cup would have been his first game on the bench for the entire season.
Mm. All right. New Premier League season starts on Friday night. We've got a full football podcast coming during the week for World Service members with a fully pumped Ken Early. It's a 5 per month plus VAT to join the World Service. You can do it on secondcaptains.com. It only takes a minute or two. Kelly Harrington podcast is coming out today. That's going to be available to everyone. Olympic champion Kelly Harrington, to give her full name now. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Murph.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Owen.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks, everyone. See you in the World Service.
Parc des Princes, meanwhile, has become a popular stopping-off point for international celebrities passing through the French capital. Beyoncé, Jay-Z, Rihanna, Kendall Jenner, Gigi Hadid, Kourtney Kardashian, Lenny Kravitz.
is he still wearing that massive scarf?
I can't believe anyone even noticed Lenny Kravitz was at the game. Lenny Kravitz, that is how much of a backwoods Paris still is in terms of football. Lenny Kravitz came to the game and people were like, "Well, that's like, can you believe it? Lenny Kravitz is here."
Well, to be fair, he's cooler than Mick Hucknall.
Yeah, but they just show Mick Hucknall as a joke. Or because he's sitting next to Fig.
Yeah.
You know, come on. Mick Hucknall
is
a red.
His massive cuffs are.
Mick Hucknall is a red. He always has been. Yeah. Lenny Kravitz goes to the game and these rubes in Paris are taking photos and going, oh, you know, best mention that at the launch. Lenny Kravitz came to the Parc des Princes. Naomi Campbell. I mean, there's a bunch of models here. It's Paris.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.